not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Hello, and welcome to episode 245 of Public Interest Podcast with your host, Jordan Cooper, where we interview politicians, activists, advocates, and others who seek to improve the state of the world. We're here today with Stephen Exo Kreischer, the director of the One Campaign Germany. He's a former senior consultant of Seek Development and the former head of Office Berlin for German World Hunger Aid. He's also formerly with Doctors Without Borders and the Carnegie Council for Ethics and International Affairs. A note on the One Campaign, it is a position where he is lobbying and campaigning to combat extreme poverty and preventable diseases, particularly in Africa. Stefan, thank you so much for joining us today. How are you doing?
I'm well. Thank you very much.
Excellent. So the first question I'd like to pose to you is, what are you currently doing or what have you ever done to advance the public interest and why?
Currently, we are gearing up to the federal election that is coming up on September 24th, and we want to make sure that all candidates for the new federal Bundestag, our parliament, know that to a large majority of the Germans, development cooperation and issues around poverty, the ending of extreme poverty and ending death by preventable diseases is important, and that they expect the next government to put forward a strong development cooperation by Germany and to include strong language within their coalition treaty that they will come up with after the election.
So does that, are you an endorsing organization who's reaching out to the Christian Democrats, and are you reaching out to the leftists and the alternative party? Are you reaching out to politicians from every party and asking them to pledge to support the mission of the One Campaign if they were to be elected to the Bundestag?
Exactly. Yeah, we're strictly nonpartisan, so we are reaching out to every party realistically having a chance to enter the Bundestag. I mean, there are too many parties to reach out to all of them.
Right.
But there are about six who are realistically going to be in the Bundestag after the elections. And we're reaching out to all candidates of those parties and asking them to sign our central petition pledge, the Article 1, that is closely linked or a play on words to the first article of the German constitution, which states that human dignity is inviolable and has to be secured and by every government institution. And this is a very short pledge asking the German government to be a good partner to African states, to keep their promises concerning development cooperation and to invest more in health, in education, and in the fight against hunger. Now, and, supporters so far in the 4 weeks that the Article 1 has been live, more than 10,000 supporters have signed it already. Three of the top candidates of the six parties that are likely going to be in the Bundestag have already signed, and we hope to get many more.
Mm-hmm. So how long have you been offering the pledge? Is this the first time, or have you done it for multiple election cycles?
We had this pledge in 2009 and 2013 as well. And our aim is to get an absolute majority of the then newly elected members of parliament to have signed the Article 1. And in 2013, we actually managed that. 60% of the members of the new parliament had signed the Article 1.
Interesting. So you've had a few election cycles. You're actually in the end of your second and entering into the third election cycle where this pledge has been in effect. Do you have any data on the effect of this pledge and whether it actually led to an increase in direct foreign aid in philanthropic endeavors in sub-Saharan Africa?
Yeah, that's always really hard to measure scientifically. What it does and what it did do for us is it helped us, of course, as an entry point. We could always go back and, when we wanted to have a meeting with a parliamentarian or when we wanted to talk to a government official, we could always go back and say, hey, listen, this is like the one thing that even before the election, and then certainly after the election, got an absolute majority. The only thing that got an absolute majority within Parliament. And it is something that the German public deeply cares about. So it enabled us, of course, to, you know, go into meetings and make the case for certain more specific things much more forcefully. The Article 1 is very general. Mm-hmm. We try to keep it so that, you know, a lot of candidates from a lot of parties can sign it. And then we could, you know, building on that, we go in with more specific asks. And it certainly helped us. And we've seen in the last, you know, 3 to 4 years, an incredible increase in German foreign direct investment, in many more politicians, like the finance minister, like, you know, other ministers that are not directly engaged within development cooperation. They have understood that development cooperation is not just a topic for a niche, that it's actually, you know, should be central to German you know, to all German government policies, because it is about the future, about how to deal with and to tackle some of the challenges of globalization. Well, so that, you know, it helps us. But, you know, scientifically measuring the impact that the Article 1 directly had, very difficult.
So, Stefan, I know that the Global One campaign has raised $37.5 billion to fight AIDS, tuberculosis, and malaria, particularly in sub-Saharan Africa. Do you know how much, approximately, Germany invests each year in foreign direct investment in sub-Saharan Africa?
In sub-Saharan Africa, let me check. I have the numbers.
Or approximately how much Germany is investing globally in foreign direct investment. You said it's been increasing every year.
Yeah, it's. I think it's always a problem with the euro-dollar conversions, but I think at the moment Germany is giving about 18 billion. So, and this year, for the first time, we reached the 0.7% target, but that only, I have to say, unfortunately, because Germany includes a lot of the, and it is allowed to do that, includes some of the in-donor refugee costs. So the costs that that occur within the country to take care of refugees that came to Germany in those numbers. So that's the only reason why Germany at the moment reached the 0.7% target. However, you know, even without those costs, German ODA increased over the last, you know, the last years. And actually at the moment, the estimates for 2016 are 24 billion US dollars. The 18 billion were for 2015.
So you said that it's just over 0.5%. I suppose it's of gross domestic product, correct?
Yes. It's gross national income, I think.
Oh, gross national income. So how does that compare to the One campaign's activism in other nations around the world? Do many nations give more than, less than, or approximately the same amount as a percentage of GDP or another approximate measure?
Well, all of them actually, you know, signed up to reach 0.7, but only very few actually do reach that target. So there's a lot that still needs to be done in terms of campaigning. And it's, you know, it's such a small ratio if you look at the overall gross national income. But nevertheless, a lot of nations do not live up to their promise.
Sorry,
I lost my train of
so,
thought there.
Stefan,
one thing I wanted to say is what we see in a lot of nations right now is that this comes under attack. You know, in the United States, even in France, it was not clear whether or not there's going to be growth in foreign direct investment. In the UK, there's a debate around changing the definition of what could be counted as ODA, as foreign direct, as official development assistant. We kind of feel that only in Germany at the moment we have a more positive environment for official development assistance and for an increase of that.
So there is a sense of within Germany, at least within a smaller, some population within Germany, is interested in focusing as you mentioned just now, more on Germany. There's a, as is often mentioned in these podcast interviews, a rising tide of populism around the world, and you saw that with Brexit. You see that with the rise of far right wing parties in Germany. You have the Alternative Party, and so these individuals may be interested in becoming less integrated into the European Union, and certainly less integrated into the global community, more interested in focusing inward on Germany. How do you, as a director of the One Campaign Germany, make an argument to the German people and to German politicians that it's in Germany's interest to invest in foreign direct investment in sub-Saharan Africa, thousands of miles away?
One of the, arguments that we, especially in the context of the G20 presidency that Germany held, or still holding actually this year, and we had the G20 summit in Hamburg in July, is that if you look at the demographic development on the African continent, we know quite certain that the population will more than double until 2015. There will be about, or even more than, 2.5 billion people living on the African continent, and more than half of those will be 24 and younger. So it's going to be a very populated continent, extreme population growth over the next 20 years, and it's going to be a very young continent. And these, you know, this can be an opportunity. If we invest in the right things, in education, in empowerment, and employment now, if we make sure that you know the right policies are in place, both in terms of development cooperation, but of course as well in terms of domestic policies within those African states, then this population growth can be an extreme opportunity to achieve a demographic dividend, what it's called, where the fact that there are so many people in the working population compared to the part of the population that is dependent on them can actually bring about a lot of economic growth and can, you know, jumpstart economic development on the African continent. And that is good for Germany, that's good for Europe, because that would mean that we have, you know, so many more people within African states that see an opportunity, a perspective for them, their families within their countries. So, you know, that will mean that fewer people will take to the boats and come to in a disorganized way come to Europe. So, you know, less refugees. It will also mean, though, that there are many more skilled people living in on the African continent that might then migrate to Europe legally, and we will need migration of skilled labor in the future in Germany and in Europe, because we, you know, our population growth isn't that big, and it's not foreseen to change, and we will need the integration of skilled labor in order to keep up our economies. So it's in our interest, both in terms of global stability and regional stability, but also in terms of how we are going to ensure our economic growth and our wealth in the future when we see a decrease in the working population within Germany and within Europe.
Now, Stefan, I would like to take the next few minutes and pivot to your personal story. Why is it that you've been so interested in international development, particularly in developing nations around the world throughout the entirety of your career? Could you explain your path and how you ended up coming here to the One Campaign?
Sure. I've always been interested in international affairs, so to speak, in different cultures, in traveling, in cultural exchange. As a student in high school, I went for a year to live and study in the United States. Then during university as well, and all of the courses I visited, most of the courses I visited while doing my studies at university, were focused on international themes. So, those global doings were always what interested me. And then I think I have a strong sense of justice, of being enraged by injustice, but also of being motivated to work, to be a small part of hopefully changing some of the injustices that we see in our world that are just appalling. I think my first job in that respect was with Doctors Without Borders, where I worked in the campaign Access to Essential Medicines, and I just couldn't understand why there are so many millions of people that die each year just because they cannot afford the medicine that is there, or just because there is no medicine because large companies do not do research and development on those diseases, because only poor people die of them and there's no market. That's what we fought for in that campaign. And basically this sense of there's so much injustice when we look at the global situation, and we need to do something to change that because it's right, but also also because it's in our interest, but mainly because it's right. That is something that motivates me very, very strongly. Sure. And that gives me a great sense of purpose of to what I do. I couldn't really imagine going to work every day and doing something that where I don't see a real purpose to.
So as we approach the end of this podcast, and on the topic of purpose, I'd like to ask you to reflect for a moment on what you hope your legacy might be one day, and what the impact of your work that you find so meaningful will be.
Me specifically, I mean, I'm humble in that respect, that I know I can only be like a very small part of a large movement that will hopefully over the next, very hopefully over the next 13 years until the sustainable development goals are supposed to be reached, have made extreme poverty history, has made death of preventable diseases history, and so on and so forth, and brought humanity to a path where where things are more just, where we do live within the boundaries of what our planet can take. I would very much like to look back and talk to my two sons once they're grown and tell them that I was a very small part of that movement that made the world a better place, and made the world a place where both of them will want to live in, and will be able to to travel to any country that they would like, to invite friends from any country they would like to invite to their country, and just see a global community of people that are not focusing on nationalist ideas, but know that international cooperation and that the exchange of ideas and of cultures is just a good thing.
So that has been Stefan Exo-Kreischer, the director of the One Campaign Germany, who's spent a career to date in helping improve the state of the world for individuals in developing nations. He's working on turning caskets into cribs and funerals into birthdays. He's somebody who's enraged by injustice and seeks to advance the public interest by ensuring that on a domestic front in Germany, the German people recognize that to improve the state of humanity is to actually advance Germany's own interest. He speaks about the opportunity to educate sub-Saharan Africans, to reduce uneducated immigration in light of a huge refugee crisis in Germany, but also speaks about improving legal immigration of skilled workers to Germany through the development of infrastructure and training in sub-Saharan Africa, and particularly in ensuring that they live to actually work another day. So, Stephen, I'd like to thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you very much, Jordan.
This has been another episode of Public Interest Podcast with your host, Jordan Cooper, where we interview politicians, activists, advocates, and others who seek to improve the state of the world. I'll remind you to subscribe on publicinterestpodcast.com and on iTunes. Leave a review of this podcast on iTunes, and listen on Stitcher, SoundCloud, CastBox, Blueberry, Player FM,
Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and YouTube. Should you wish to comment on this episode, you're welcome to leave a voicemail at 240-630-0380. And the first 3 minutes of that voicemail may be played in future episodes of Public Interest Podcast. Should you wish to support the podcast, you're welcome to leave a contribution in an amount that you feel comfortable with at publicinterestpodcast.com. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.